The scripture is on the back of the program, and it's from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
So I've been sick since New Year's Eve. Most of you know that. And I don't like going to the doctor, so I haven't gone to the doctors yet. But I have been taking medicine. And one of the medicine, Mucinex, something, XD or something like that, is supposed to be like a cough suppressant. And so I took it, and I couldn't sleep that night. And I was like, that's weird. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I've been sleeping like for the past 2 days. Maybe I'm just not like sleepy. And I took it again the next night, and I couldn't go to sleep again. And it was one of those things. Have you ever had that? Probably hallucination, right? You're like trying to sleep, and then like you keep waking up. And it's just like, I don't know. Your mind's just going really like bizarre things happening. Like for me, it was just like, for some reason, left hooks, you know, left hooks. And I was watching some UFC, so maybe that might have had to do with a little bit of it. And it was like, what's going on? And so I read the directions finally on Mucinex, other than like the dosage, how much you should take. And one of the things that says is, if you have like sleepless night, don't take these. So I'm like, oh, that's exactly what I have for the past 2 days. And so I stopped taking it.
There's a daytime and a nighttime formula too.
Yeah.
There's one ingredient difference.
Oh, is it? Maybe it's that one ingredient.
Yeah.
I don't know, but something, you know.
And it has to be at night.
You know, all that to say is make sure you read the directions if you're gonna take medicine. But speaking of reading the directions, you know, the Bible isn't like the directions of Mucinex, but it does have directions in some ways. And here, the Gospels, all four Gospels, which is pretty rare, strange if you think about it, but it's pretty rare for all four Gospels to have the same story, because, you know, one of the reasons maybe the other gospel writers like, oh, Luke already dealt with that, let me not, you know, there's only a certain amount of parchment I have to write on this, so let me not include this. But one of the things that are included in all four Gospels is the ministry of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is an incredible figure in the Bible. I won't get into all the details about it, but John's ministry is called a forerunner ministry by some people. And it's a forerunner in many ways, but one of the ways it's a forerunner is that John, his ministry is very similar to Jesus' ministry in that in the way it ends is he would have somebody in power that doesn't really want to kill him end up having to kill him kind of thing. And if you know Jesus' ministry, that's exactly what happens with Jesus. But John's ministry is forerunner in that it looks very similar to how Jesus ministered. But it's a forerunner also because his ministry was simply, I don't want to use simply, his ministry was to get people prepared for Jesus' ministry. His ministry wasn't an ends in itself, but it was a means to a greater ends. And when John preaches, he makes that very clear, and we'll see that today. John was a simple man. Some say he was a Nazirite. Matthew describes him, as we saw, of wearing camel's hair, a leather belt. And if you're familiar with Old Testament prophets, that's actually something Elijah wore. He wore a hairy garment with a leather belt. That's in 2 Kings 1:8, which is pretty interesting when you consider they say that Elijah must come. And Jesus tells us that John the Baptist is Elijah that is to come. His diet consisted of locusts and honey. And he was the first guy that went keto, I guess. it worked for him. I'm sure, I don't know if he ate more than that. I don't think he ate meat though. He's prophesied in several places. Here Matthew tells us he was prophesied in Isaiah. He was also prophesied in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And speaking of the last book of the Old Testament, he is the last order of the Old Testament prophet. And some say there was a 400-year gap between the last prophet, Malachi, when he prophesied until John the Baptist came, which there isn't a lot in between. That's called the intertestamental period. The Maccabees, of course, is during that time. You guys read or heard about the book Hani the Circle Maker? Okay, good. No, just kidding. Well, that's a book about a prophet, you know, during that time. So there were prophets, I guess, during that time, but there wasn't any significant prophetic figure like a Malachi, like an Isaiah, like a John the Baptist during the intertestamental period. And, you know, that's during that time, the synagogues were built. And I'm sure during that time, God's word, scripture, became very valuable since there wasn't anyone coming around saying, "Thus says the Lord," with any kind of authority. I'm sure people were still saying, "Thus says the Lord," but they're like, "No, that's not, that guy's not from God," for several reasons. But here, during that 400 period of silence, imagine that 400 years of silence of having these prophets come and lead you. I mean, you know, the history of Israel was from judges to kings to prophets and all these other people that God was sent. And for 400 years, there was nothing that God really actually sent. 400 years of maybe silence and trying to figure things out. And finally, after that 400 years, John the Baptist comes. He comes in the wilderness next to the Jordan River. Now, when I say the Jordan River, some of us may not be familiar with the significance of that, but the Jordan River is a significant landmark in Israel. That was the river that Joshua crossed over to go into the Promised Land. And prior to crossing over, you remember, they put like these 12 memorial rocks, and they consecrated themselves. And it was a moment of breakthrough in Israel's history. For 40 years, they were wandering in the desert. Was it 40 years, Tom?
Yes.
Or was it 400 years? The Mucinex is kicking in again. No, but they were in there for a long time, in the wilderness for a long time. They left Egypt. They were finally delivered from the bondage of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. And finally, Joshua is in leadership. They're at the Jordan River, and this is a significant place of breaking into the promises of God. And so when John the Baptist comes, and he comes preaching in the wilderness, and he decides to use the Jordan River as a place of baptism, you have to realize that these people that know their history are saying, this is significant. John isn't just using this because it's a nice body of water. He's using this because it's a body of water that represented breakthrough, that represented a new thing, a renewal. It represented so much more to the Israelites than what you and I can imagine. It represented God's promised land. We're going to go enter into God's promised land once again. And John's ministry was pretty incredible if you think about it. He didn't do any miracles. His ministry was not known by any miracles, but multitudes would come and hear him. They'd come for all the way from Jerusalem, which is 80 plus miles away. They would make that huge trek. They're saying there's this guy in the wilderness. He's prophesying. What is he wearing? Camel's hair. Leather belt. What is he eating? Locusts and honey. This guy must be the real deal. Let's go see him. Yeah, I don't know why Matthew added those details. But they went, and they multitudes started gathering, and you could just imagine what the scene was like at the Jordan River with hundreds, thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people there. I don't know what they were doing. What goes on in a revival, Tom? You tell
repentance.
Me. What's that?
Repentance.
There's repentance. There's a lot of like clapping. You know, they're probably all clapping and stomping their feet. And it's a revival-like atmosphere. You guys ever been to like a tent-type revival atmosphere? No? You guys are missing out if you've never been. It's quite a scene. Whether... I'm just going to say it's pretty amazing to be in one of those meetings. But, you know, this is a full-blown revival. John is up there preaching, and it's preaching hellfire and brimstone. And people are still coming. You know, they want to hear that for some reason. He's saying, you know, the axe is at the root. Repent. What a message, you know. It's incredible. Because his message was not very PC. It was very like, hey, you got two cloaks, share one with the other person. Stop stealing. Treat your neighbor like you're supposed to treat him. He was very conservative. He was an Essene, very simple lifestyle, probably took a vow of poverty, and he was not shy to say, you know, there's nothing wrong with being poor. In fact, if you want to be like me, you need to be poor too, kind of thing. But his message was one of repentance. I was going to do this message last week, but obviously I couldn't because I was sick. And I think it was a mucinous kicking in, because when I was picturing the message, I was thinking, maybe I should get the whole people riled up like it was a revival or something, just to get like, just to get the feeling of what it would be like to be at that place, you know, a little bit of clapping, like everyone, like, I was wondering, oh man, it would be so cool if everyone started clapping like in unison, like, don't know. Maybe, should we try it or no? No, I don't think so. I think that was just the medicine. But it was that kind of atmosphere. It was electric. You've ever been to a place where it's actually electric?
There's going to be the Masumi next Saturday.
Yes.
That'll be electric. Japanese festival.
I've been there twice and it's never been electric for me personally. Sorry. But, you know, there, it's just, it doesn't always happen at church revival meetings, but when it does, it's something special. Actually, you know, you could sometimes even feel it outside of churches at certain events. It's just this feeling almost of, what am I looking for? Adrenaline. Like the adrenaline is just pumping through your body, even though, I don't know. But I'm sure.
Billy Graham did that.
Billy Graham.
Right?
He did. Here John comes and he preaches a message of repentance, and hundreds of thousands of people are gathering here. And it's saying, you guys need to live your life right. Stop sinning, repent. Turn and repent. When you hear the word repent, I don't know what comes to your mind, but in the Greek, repent is a changing of mind. It's a focus of changing your mind, changing the way you're thinking. In Hebrew, though, when they say repent, it's more of a returning. It's an act of returning. So when the Old Testament prophets, they would come and they would say repent, it wasn't necessarily a changing of mind, but return to your God kind of thing, because you've left your God. And so when here, I don't know if he was speaking in Aramaic, Greek, or Hebrew, but he's saying repent. And I'm sure there's a lot of things going on in different people's heads as they hear these words. And it's exactly what they need to hear. And it wasn't falling on deaf ears. They were hearing this message of repentance, and they were saying, yeah, I want to repent, John. I don't know what's going on with me, but I've never felt this way before. I want to follow God again. And so he'd start baptizing people, and they'd go from one end of the Jordan River, and they'd get dunked into the Jordan River, and they'd come out, emerge on the other side of that Jordan River, just like their ancestors did when they were entering into their promised land. They were going from one side of the Jordan to the next and going into something even greater. And this is what John, and this is my message, and this is what John's message was. And so he's saying, look, I'm getting your guys, I'm here to just get your guys' life right. Morally right, which is a great thing, you know, which is foundational to what's going to happen. But you got to understand, that's all I'm here to do, is to get you morally right, is to cleanse you from your sins. Because there's somebody else that's going to come that's going to do even greater works than this, which is, you know, for the church sometimes, what we think of is we're here to just clean people up. You know, get people right, get them off drugs, get them off addictions, and set them right, which is great, which is foundational. And that's what John was doing. He was getting people right. He was getting them off of drugs. He was getting off of prostitution. He was getting them off of stealing and all these other things. But he's saying, you know, this is great. You need this. This is necessary. However, I'm telling you to repent, not just for repentance' sake, not just so you guys could get right, but I'm telling you to repent for several reasons. One, the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then it says, this is the one who was spoken from the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his path. So one, the kingdom of heaven is near. Two, the Lord is coming and we need our lives, we need our path to be straight. Because when the Lord comes, and we go all the way down to verse 11, and let me read it from my Bible. Sorry, I should have had this ready. I was getting rolling too.
It's on the back of the bulletin.
I got it. Thank you. From verse 11, it says this: I baptize you with water for repentance. Now that's what John's purpose was, to get people right. I baptize you with water for repentance, to get your mind straight, to return to the Lord. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I. How much more powerful? So much more powerful that I'm not even worthy to stoop down and carry his sandals. That's how much more powerful he is. That's pretty powerful, right? That's like me saying, I'm really good at basketball, but someone else is going to come that's way better than me. His name is LeBron James. And I'm not even worthy to carry his basketball shoes. But this is as great as LeBron James is better at basketball than I am, so much more greater is Jesus than John the Baptist. Isn't that amazing? John the Baptist, who basically preached a one-sentence sermon, was able to get people 80 miles away to come and hear him speak. The Sadducees came, the Pharisees came, all the people came to hear him. And even the worst of sinner was like, baptize me, John. I'm a sinner. I need God. You know, all these people started saying, John, I need to be baptized. And John says, you know how great this is? And they're like, yeah, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. For 400 years, no one's ever seen anything like this. And John is saying, guess what? LeBron James is coming. No, just kidding. Guess what? There's a guy named Jesus Christ that's coming that's far, far greater than I am.
Amen. Yes.
Not only is he going to take you off of drugs, not only is he going to break your addictions, not only is he going to return you to God, he's going to do far greater than I just did right now. And it's saying he's going to come and I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandal I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Wait, I thought the Holy Spirit was simply so that I could get my life right. He does get our life right. But apparently, according to the instruction book here, John came to do that. And John's ministry is amazing. That's why all four gospel writers talk about John. It's foundational. Now, if you go to a church and there isn't elements of John's teaching to it, that's not a good church. You know, if you go to a church that's simply all about power and all this other thing without getting your life right, you know, that's half the story. So John's ministry was so powerful that all four gospel writers talk about it, and even throughout the gospel, the scriptures itself, it always goes back to character. It always goes back to those things that John was doing. But I want you to know that's just foundational to something even greater. God wants more than that. He wants more than just getting our lives right with God. Isn't that incredible?
Yes. Amen.
What exactly does he want then? If it's more than just, you know, getting out of sin, which is great. You know, not being in sin is one of the greatest feelings you could have. Being in sin is one of the worst feelings. It's probably like being sick for like the entire year. That's what sin is like. You know, you don't want to be in sin. But as great as it is to be out of sin, as great as it is to be looking for the kingdom of heaven, which has come near, which has come. He says, John himself says, there's one coming that's even more powerful than this revival that you're experiencing right now. And his ministry is one not just of water baptism. And that water baptism, when John baptized you, it probably was pretty amazing. But it was more than that. He's saying Jesus is coming and is going to give a Holy Spirit baptism, a Spirit of God baptism. Now, if you were living in John's time and John said those words, you're probably thinking to yourself, Elijah, some of the other prophets, maybe King David, some of the things he did. What is this Holy Spirit? How much greater can it be than what we're experiencing right now? And John is saying, it's night and day in comparison. And so the instruction book of the Bible for Christianity, for what we have today, is repenting of sin is foundational. It is so important. But that's not it. The church isn't simply meant to make people better. It's not simply meant to make people whole. Although those are foundational, those are important. If you go to church and they don't do that, there's something wrong with that church. What John is saying, and what I want to say today, is as important as that is, there's something far greater that God has for us. And as Christians, myself included, I think we're living far below what Jesus meant, but far below the standards and quality and even power and authority that Jesus has in store for us. Now, I don't know if what we're experiencing as a church is what these people experienced, the 400 years of silence, you know, because sometimes those things happen. It seems like there's just times and periods where there's just silence and we got to figure things out. And those figuring things out are meant just to be temporary figuring things out. They're not supposed to be, it's not what was meant to be. Just like when they had to figure out things when John the Baptist, before John the Baptist and Jesus came, you know, they were trying to figure things out and they put things in place. And when Jesus came, he said, okay, that those things are cute, but they're not God's word. Those things are nice traditions, but don't ever put those things above God's word. And so I don't know if we're here in this period of like 400 years of silence, but my message today is that, first of all, repent. Sorry. Second of all, that repentance is meant to prepare us. Because God knows all we need is another just powerful Christian that falls into immorality. And there's going to be a time when hopefully that doesn't happen. That there would be a balance of just great morality as well as great power and authority, and those things working together, not putting one over another, but in balance in the way that God wanted to, that people are walking not just in the baptism of water and repentance, but a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, and able to really reflect the ministry that Jesus and John the Baptist is saying, hey, there's a ministry coming that's far greater than mine,
And Jesus Christ is going to administer that. And hopefully one day you and I will see what that looks like. Right now, I'm not ready to tell you what it is. Because honestly, like, my ministry is probably more John the Baptist's ministry than it is Jesus' ministry. But there's more. My message is there's more. Repentance, getting right with God, foundational to what is more to come. Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, you know, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Your word here says that there's a greater ministry to come, one that's far greater than probably any of us has ever seen or experienced or imagined. We do pray, Father, for the ministry of repentance to come upon our lives, and that you would make us whole. But Father, we pray that we would see that as getting ready for a greater ministry to come, your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we do ask that you would come in such a powerful, mighty way, not in a fabricated way, not in a fleshly way, not in a way that in your way, Lord. You have your way with us, Holy Spirit. Whatever that looks like. And whatever it looks like, we know it'll probably look very similar to what happened in the past in your holy word. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us. Fill us with character. Fill us with your goodness. Fill us with righteousness. Fill us with justice. Fill us with all those things of repentance. But even more, Lord, fill us with your power from heaven, Lord. Fill us with heaven's atmosphere. Fill us with faith that moves mountains. Fill us with just power that could cast out demons and all these other things, Lord, that you showed in Scripture. We pray that you'll fill us with even resurrection power, Father.
Amen.
We ask that your Holy Spirit would come and fill each and every one of us, that we would reflect your ministry, Jesus. We would reflect what you came to do. We would be children of God as you intended us to be, Father. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.